Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. Let's talk some more NFL draft with Dane Brugler, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. Dane, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning, guys.
Thanks for coming on the show with us. We appreciate it. We were just talking about the upcoming draft and the Chiefs and what we'd like to see the Chiefs do with their first-round pick and the two second-round picks that they have. And obviously, we focus so much on the defense because that's what failed the Chiefs. That's what's failed in the last few years, and that's what led them to hire Steve Spagnuolo. And so let's start there. What was your reaction to that hire? He's also made several additions to his defensive staff. What was your reaction to that hire, and maybe what it means to this draft coming up?
Well, I'm always interested when coaches have a chance to take a year off, take a step back, have a chance to kind of regroup. A lot of times when these guys go from job to job, they're so heavily invested in hitting the ground running that they don't have a chance to catch their breath and kind of recalibrate. And, I think a chance to take a year off for coach, I think that can be invaluable for a guy to take a look at the current landscape of the NFL. What's working, what's not? How do I need to adjust my defensive scheme and philosophies to fit what offenses are trying to do? So I think that could be a valuable thing. We'll see how he does adjust, if he does. But I think that year off is something that always stands out to me when coaches are hired and have a chance to maybe bring a different perspective than if they just came from another job.
And so now that we know who the defensive staff is, and we obviously know what the weaknesses were for the Chiefs, it also depends on what they do in free agency. But with that first round pick, what do you think the Chiefs' biggest need is? Where would you like to see them go?
Well, I think first and foremost, I have to say that with that first rounder, while you'd like it to line up with your top need, it just doesn't always work that way. And I think, so many times if I do a mock draft, I hear from fans, they don't need that as much as they need this. So, and that's great, but how many times do we really look at the draft and say, okay, yep, they top need they drafted first round. Biggest need they drafted second round. It doesn't always work like that. And so I think the Chiefs in their front office, they're focused on getting good football players. The best way to impact their roster, not reaching for need. But I do think one of the possible need areas, we'll have to see if anything happens in free agency, but just looking at the secondary, getting better on the outside of the corner and then especially getting better at safety, just bringing in new bodies, fresh young bodies. Nasir Adderley from Delaware is an interesting name. Smaller school guy, come from the FCS level, has corner safety background. I think what he did the Senior Bowl, what he did over his time at Delaware on tape, he's proven to be one of the best safeties in this draft. A guy that can help you out in pass coverage, can play single high, can help out in against the run. I don't think there's one main deficiency in his game. So I think he's definitely in the mix. Taylor Rapp from Washington, another safety who a lot of teams like. A guy that might never make a Pro Bowl in his career, but I think he's going to be a 10-year safety, if not more. A guy who's very well-rounded with his athleticism, his instincts. He's a very smart individual. He's not going to hurt you out there. He's not going to make mental mistakes. And so I think if they do go in the direction of safety, Nasir Adderley from Delaware and then Taylor Rapp from Washington are the two main names I'd be looking at.
Now, you had the Chiefs taking Adderley in your recent mock draft, and an interesting tie there, as you wrote. Brett Veach is also a former Delaware Blue Hen, so he'd have plenty of reason to keep a close eye on Nasir Adderley.
Yeah, and that's something it's a fun story, fun thing to talk about. Obviously, Veach isn't going to draft him because of where he went to school, what kind of decal was on his college helmet. But at the same time, he has connections to the program and You know, he might be able to get a little more information than some of these other teams in terms of who Nasir is. And I've talked to Nasir a number of times, and he is an extremely impressive individual with the way he carries himself. You know, he has Hall of Fame bloodlines. His cousin, Herb Adderley's an NFL Hall of Famer, won a Super Bowl with the Packers and Super Bowls 1 and 2. So, you know, I think there's a lot to like when you talk about the intangibles. And the Veach Delaware connection will only help with that, because I'm sure through his connections at his alma mater, he's talking to people there, telling them some pretty glowing things about Nasir.
Okay, so one of the articles that you posted at the Athletic that I'm intrigued by is, and you said, this year's cornerback class reminds me of the wide receiver group. There might not be any lock top 10 picks, but there's a talented depth in the early rounds. I think that corner is most likely going to be a massive need for the team as well. But I'd like to kind of explore that idea that you had about how, look, you don't always draft in the first round off what your biggest need is. They've got a couple picks late in the second round as well. Is there enough depth there at the corner position that if they say they really want a corner in this draft, could they say, look, we're going to go upside with whatever the most talented player is in the first round? There's still going to be some corners with one of those second round picks for us to take. Is it that deep? What are we talking about here in terms of that group?
I think so. And, you know, corner is arguably the third most important position on your roster. You know, quarterback being one, pass rusher being two. So corners usually go pretty quickly. So, you know, who knows, by the time we get to the Chiefs, you know, second round pick, you know, who knows who will still be on the board, but I think it is a deep enough group where, you know, you're still talking about some pretty talented players. Justin Lane from Michigan State is a good name to know. Former wide receiver, a four-star wide receiver out of high school, goes to Michigan State, plays wide receiver his freshman year. They transition him over to corner, plays a little bit of both ways. Then he moves full-time to defense, and he's a big, long corner, can move really natural ball skills, which you'd expect from a former wide receiver. But there's a lot to like about the raw speed, the size, the length, and what he can grow into. So Justin Lane from Michigan State, a name to know. And then another one, Julian Love from Notre Dame, who isn't going to meet the size speed thresholds. You know, he's probably going to run a 4.48, which is a good number, but not a great number for the cornerback position. Probably going to come in about 5.10, which, you know, it, for some teams might be a deal breaker. But when you watch his tape, he doesn't lose a lot of one-on-one matchups because of his feet, his balance, his transition. Very instinctive player. And because of it, you know, if you're drafting a corner in, you know, the late second round, something is obviously, you know, going on with the player where he wasn't a first round pick or he wasn't a top 50 pick. So, you know, you have to take a little bit of a discount. And with Julian Love, you might be sacrificing a smaller player, but, you know, or that's smaller size, but a really good player. And so I think that'd definitely be a name to keep on the radar. Both those guys, Julian Love, Justin Lane, Trayvon Mullen from Clemson is another one. I do think the depth in this class will extend into the later portion of the second round. Some pretty good players will be there.
So that's good news for the Chiefs because they have those two second-round picks that they could use one of those on a corner. What about the safety depth? Do they need, if they're looking for an impact safety, and odds are that they are, Is that more important to focus on that in the first round, or is the depth allow for some good safety help to be available in the end of the second round?
Yeah, the depth isn't quite there at same as we're talking about, like, cornerback, but there are some names that you know, could envision being there in the second round. You know, I think Nasir Adderley, Taylor Rapp, Deontay Thompson from Alabama, probably Jonathan Abram from Mississippi State. I think those four safeties will be gone off the board. But then you're talking about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from Florida, who is more of the ideal nickel defender for today's NFL. He has corner athleticism, corner size, but he hits like a safety. I think he brings a little bit of versatility, best as a nickel defender. Juan Thornhill from Virginia is maybe your natural free safety. He's another former corner who has the size of a safety. A big-time basketball player in high school. You know he has the hops. You know he moves well. Pretty good ball skills as well. Led Virginia with 6 interceptions last year. I think Juan Thornhill in the later portion of the second round could be an option. And if they wait until, you know, later on, if they get, you know, into the third round, Then you're talking Darnell Savage from Maryland, Amani Hooker from Iowa. So the depth isn't necessarily there as it opposed to corner, but there are some names that you could envision being available in the late second round and then into the third.
So we spent the last segment of our show kind of entertaining the concept that even though the Chiefs have this all-world offense and they clearly need help on defense, like you said earlier, Dane, they could just draft for the best football player available. And we think they actually could use some help on the offensive line. And there's a local guy, Dalton Risner, out of K-State, who you've got projected to go late in the first round, I believe. And I tell you what, I've had a chance to interview him a couple times. Just a terrific interview, a really engaging guy to be around. Not that that's why you draft him, but I'm curious what your thoughts are on him, what your projections are on him. Let's say the Chiefs decided to go for a guy like that. Would that be reason for Chiefs fans to be happy?
I think so, because when you one of the selling points of Dalton Risner is the fact that he has probably versatility to play four positions, everywhere from left guard to right tackle. I think you feel really comfortable with him at those four positions. He is a center his entire life. And then his sophomore year at Kansas State, they moved to right tackle where he started each of the last 3 years. He was a team captain all 3 years, first team all Big 12 all 3 years. The intangibles are off the charts. That's the toughness, a guy that you're going to really love to bring into the community. No question about that. And that factors in one of the reasons why he has a chance to be a first-round pick. But personally, I see him best at guard. I think that's where he fits best with a skill set. He has kind of that, you know, squared, barrel-chested frame, very stout at the point of attack. Doesn't have an elite, you know, kick slide and in terms of lateral quickness and cutting off edge rushers. But at the same time, when you watch his college tape, he didn't get beat off the edge. So it's a player that might not test overly well, but the tape is really strong. You feel really good about the player. His resume is outstanding. Didn't allow a sack 2017 or 2018. So there's a lot to like about Dalton Risner, where the versatility is a strong selling point. That's what you get excited about. Going to give you depth at the guard position, at center. You know, can kick outside a tackle and, you know, not embarrass himself out there. So that versatility is definitely a key with Risner.
Okay, Dane, my final question, I wanted to ask you about Drew Locke. And, you know, obviously there's plenty of Mizzou fans out here that love him from this time in Mizzou, but he's also a KC kid, and we're very interested about, you know, where he ends up and hopefully him having a successful NFL career. But selfishly, I do not want him to go to Denver because I can never root for the Denver Broncos, obviously. But what about Drew Locke? You had him going to, in your mock draft, going to the Washington Redskins. What do you think of Drew Locke after the Senior Bowl and maybe what his ceiling is as far as this draft? How high could he go? And what his floor is? Maybe how low he could go in the first round?
Well, you know, quarterbacks, they're always a wild card. You know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And it wouldn't shock me at all if there's a team that pulls the trigger on Drew Locke in the first round, in the top 10. You know, it's a position that, you know, if you feel that he can lead you to the playoffs, help you win a division, well, then it's never too early to draft a player like that. And Drew Locke has a lot of the ingredients that make you think he can be that guy at the next level. He reminds me so much of Derek Carr when I scouted him out of Fresno State. He's a classic arm thrower who has a huge arm. He'll stubbornly make some decisions he probably shouldn't, you know, believe in his arm over everything else. Still figuring out how to use his eyes and piece together everything. But he has the makeup that you want, the size. He moves pretty well. I mean, he had basketball offers, collegiate basketball offers out of high school. I mean, he's not a statue back there. But the big-time arm, that's what you really like. He's easy velocity. The ball just explodes off his hand. And, you know, you saw throughout his career at Mizzou the accuracy improve, maybe not taking as many chances. And so when he has weapons to throw to, especially when he had Emmanuel Hall on the field with the Tigers, he really was a big-time downfield thrower. And so with Drew Locke, if a team like the Giants at 6, the Jaguars at 7, you know, the Broncos at 10, I think that's a realistic possibility that we could be looking at Drew Locke as a possible top 10 pick.
You think Kyler Murray's going to make it in the NFL as a quarterback? I hope that he does. I loved watching him in college. What do you think? How do you project him at the next level?
I'm not going to bet against him because there's so much about him that translates. He's got a whip for an arm. I think he's a naturally accurate thrower. He's obviously an outstanding athlete. My biggest worry is just, you know, is going to be able to take a consistent pounding and get back up for 16 games. You know, he got put on his butt a few times in the Alabama game in the Orange Bowl, and he bounced back pretty well. But can he do that for 16 games a season? We didn't necessarily he didn't have to do that in the Big 12. He didn't get pushed around a lot. He played behind the best offensive line in college football. Big 12 isn't really known for defense. So once he goes to the NFL, how will he be able to adjust and do that? The height's one thing, you know, I think I can live with that. I'm more worried about the build and the body armor. As long as he stays healthy, I'm not betting against him.
Dane, thank you very much for the time. Hopefully we can have you on again before the draft, man. We appreciate the info.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff from Dane Brugler, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler, B-R-U-G-L-E-R. Is his handle. Jake, that's why Western Illinois really went after you heavy in recruiting, because your ability to take a constant pounding.
Yeah, nonstop. Oh, yeah, I mean, that.
Everyone always.
My stamina was.
Would comment on that. Based on.
Fact.
My notes.
I mean, it's an asset, being able to take a constant pounding like that.
Literally.
And, you know, and enjoy it.
Right.
And not you just.
Come back,
you know,
for more.
That's
mindset.
That's what you're known for.
It's mindset.
Let's take a break. I wonder if Gary's going to talk about snow.
We've been taking a constant pounding in this town from the snow this winter.
Ever had a good forecast for us. Gary Lezak after this on WHB.